This is the Packer and Durham Podcast, Hour 2.
And I suspect with the next topic we're going to throw on you, some folks will have something to say about it. And by the way, speaking of something to say, we are 1 hour away from ACC Commissioner John Swofford joining us, talking about a number of serious issues.
Yep, we'll do that. Coming up, we'll get to your calls, 844-SAY-ACCN, as Pac said. Also in this hour, Wake Forest coach Dave Odom. They're going to honor the 95 ACC champions tomorrow night at Joel Coliseum in Winston-Salem.
25 years it's been.
Yep.
Dave Odom, who obviously also had success when he was at South Carolina.
Yep.
And other places, and rocking and rolling in Hawaii.
Yeah, now runs the Maui event.
What a deal that is.
Yeah, we'll have to talk about that maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Get into that. Maybe how Packer and Durham can go live from Maui next year.
That would probably – I've never been to Hawaii.
What?
I have never been to Hawaii.
Of all the places you've been?
I've been a lot of places, but I've normally gone for travel. It's east, not west.
Huh.
If I get to Hawaii, I'm going to Australia and New Zealand. That I can tell you.
Well, it's a stopping point, refuel, yeah, that kind of thing.
That's about it.
All right. Now, this ACC All-Star Draft that was handled the other night by the Nothing But Net folks has created a lot of discussion on social media.
Rightfully so, based on some of those selections.
But you asked a pinpoint question the other night I thought was interesting.
I thought that we should have a conversation about, you know, as cool as that team is, whether you agree or disagree, whatever the combination may be.
Right.
This league's obviously had a lot of great players, but who is the coach for the all-star ACC team? And you can go back from day one in his or her prime.
Mm.
Let me emphasize that. Mm. His or her prime, and say, guess what? That is my ACC coach for the ultimate all-ACC team. So this is where you, the viewer slash listener, can participate at 844-SAY-ACCN.
I think there are obvious choices for this, and then I think there are ones that you'd just like to kind of roll in there and see what it would look like for one game.
And I think we should – I think we're going to make this even more specific because this will open up the conversation. I think it's for one game only.
Oh, wow.
All right? Okay. So you can go back, and it may not be the greatest coach of all time, but for one game, your life depended on it. Who do you pick?
To who I'd like to see coach that team. To who I'd like to see the coach that team one time.
So there it is. There's
the
question.
One of them boys right there. But I went to Duke, and I'm from Norfolk, Virginia. I'd like to get over there and coach that team.
All right. So you get the ultimate all-ACC team, whether it be Luke's or Dallin's or Booz's, but you get
you
one
take
coach.
All 15 of them, put them on a roster for all I care.
Whatever you want. You get one coach for
yeah,
one
I team. Am. That's me right there.
Left hander.
Put me right here on that team. I tell you what, now we coach that team up.
All right. You ready to roll on this?
Go.
844-SAY-ACCN. You want to pick?
I told you, one game I want lefty.
You're going lefty for
I
one?
I want lefty one game.
Phil, you bring the ball up the floor, and what we're going to do is we're going to get Elton Brand, because he's going to play at the block. We're going to get Elton to come out and set a screen on the wing for David. I should have had David Thompson on my team. If George Ravlin had gone to Shelby like I told George Ravlin to, I'd have David Thompson. That's a true story, too.
That's another great story.
Phil, I had Phil, too. Then Dean slipped in there in the thick of the night and got him.
Yeah.
Just ask him. There are no stories in ACC basketball. There are no stories. Like lefty stories. None. Zero. They're the best. They're unbelievable. That's how good they are. I want lefty. I don't know who you want. I want lefty.
Lefty for one and done. All right? That's how you got to look at this conversation today. One and done. You're going lefty. Bless you.
Thank you. Live television.
Can I think on this one?
No, you cannot.
Because
you have to come.
I'm torn.
See, to me, the easy answer is Dean, Mike.
No, you're right. Kay, whatever. I mean, right. Whatever combo you want to go with.
Whatever, that. Roy. I mean, Boeheim. Those are all easy. I wanted lefty.
You didn't mention Bobby Crimmins? who, by the way, was just passed this weekend by Leonard Hamilton.
Yeah, I heard the reference, Doug Sherman.
How about Norman Sloan?
Oh, if I could wear the coat. If we could give me the coat.
You got to do the coat. Again, prime time.
Is Biedenbach and Esposito going to be on the bench?
With the little NC State
on the lapel. Wolfpack Club blazer.
Yeah. Red and white check pants.
Sure, absolutely.
Tied at matches.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What about Torrey?
Torrey Holland?
Torrey. You and Torrey in the tunnel. Can we go back to that picture again?
Can we go Vic Bubas?
Oh, Vic Bubas would be good. How about Frank McGuire? How about Everett Case?
I mean, there's so many.
How about Bones?
Coaches.
What would Bones do?
You know what Bones would do? He'd tie Billy Packer to the bench.
Sure he would.
Like he did.
Billy'd want to be on the floor, and Bones would be like, you sit over there.
Tie him up. Put his ankles and twist around the chair.
Murray Greason? Get a little Murray Greason action?
No. We'd go there. How about Gibson, Virginia?
Bill Gibson, hold up the cards to call the plays.
Yep.
Yeah.
Old school, baby. Oh. Barry Parkhill.
Barry Parkhill.
How about Jim Valvano?
Gus Girard. Jim Valvano.
For one game.
Yeah.
How about Jim Valvano? All right. We just gave you a sample of like 10 to 15.
I'm still going lefty. One game.
Fair enough.
Lefty or Cremins?
Oh.
Do we have any timeouts? Yes.
Seven of them.
Wes, what's the score? Wes, what's the score of the other game with Les Robinson? That's another story we'll tell in the offseason.
Les Robinson.
How about Dave Odom? Dave Odom. We'll ask Dave Odom what he would do with this team.
We are going to ask Dave Odom this question coming up in a half an hour.
Okay. Right. How about Joe in South Carolina? Joe, welcome to Packer and Durham.
Good morning, gentlemen. My one coach for one game would be Dean Smith before the shot clock era. And correct me if I'm wrong. Was Dean Smith not the reason for the shot clock because of the game score?
A good portion of it, yes, Joe. Yeah.
But because I would say Dean Smith.
Basically, the 47-45 ACC tournament title game in 1982. Yes. That's a
wonderful time.
Al McGuire went nuts on the air with Mark's dad and Enberg.
Sure basically. Did. Loved it. Thanks, guys.
Okay. Billy. Billy's responsible for the shot clock.
Of course. Oh, that's beautiful.
Wasn't Dean Smith responsible for the shot clock? Sure, why not? Yeah, absolutely.
We mentioned you were
at the 82 game, weren't you? Greensboro?
I think it was.
47-45?
Yeah. Virginia, you said? Yeah.
Yeah, Carolina won the opening tap. Worthy set it down. Two-hand dunk.
Yeah. You know, we talked about the Chick Yonaker airball game when Dean rolled into Cameron and just said, you know what?
78.
There's no need to play 40 with these dudes. Let's just keep this. Let's just cut this game
in
half.
That was 79.
We'll just cut this game in half and we'll just kick it around here for a while and you pass it to him.
Whatever. I didn't agree with it, but that's what Coach wanted to do. Next day, weighted vest all over Carmichael.
Yeah.
All right. So he wants Dean Smith.
Well, Dean was sensational, right? I mean, as you pointed out, there's some obvious answers to this question. But for one game, dude was pretty good. Now.
It's easy to say.
I mean, you picked Lefty, who's in the Hall of Fame. I mean, it's not like you went totally obscure here.
Okay, I'll take Cremins. Tell me I can't have Lefty. I want Cremins.
Cremins for one.
You got to tell me who's on the bench. You got to tell me who's coaching with him, though.
I don't know. And no disrespect to our man, BC. For one game... I'm not going to go Bobby Cremins. Not for one. And if he's watching right now, Coach, it's because I'm a Clemson guy and I'm not giving a South Carolina alum the nod.
Hank in Kentucky is next on Packer and Durham. Hank, good morning.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Wanted to say if I had to pick one coach, I'm definitely taking Rick Pitino.
Rick Pitino.
Well, you could go there.
You can go there. Louisville certainly times. Took Louisville to a national title.
And let me tell you something, and I know that you know it's almost sacrilegious at the point in time, given all the stuff that's going on around him, but for one game,
ooh,
he was great.
Denny Crum, he'd be a good Louisville coach to Denny Crum.
Crum wasn't an ACC
guy. I know
guy.
He wasn't an
Pitino
ACC.
Was,
right.
For at least a short period of time.
Yeah.
Rick Pitino for one game.
He's in the Hall of Fame, right? Yeah, Pitino.
Probably.
Yeah. Just take here's the thing about whenever you do these all-star type deals, Pack, here's the problem you always have. And I'll take the 15 they put on this list. And we'll you know, sidecar the omissions for the time being. How are you going to line this crowd up? If you are Kay, Coach Smith, Leonard Hamilton, it doesn't matter. You know, Bobby Cremins, Lefty Driesell, Terry Holland. Okay, you're going to start with who at the point?
Of the 15 that were selected?
Yeah.
And this is our only universe of picking?
Yep. Who are you going to start your five with of the 15?
Well, if you're going for a true point guard.
You want to go Phil?
Phil or Chris Paul.
Right. Okay, then who's your big? Ralph?
Yes.
Okay. Then who's your two?
Well, I'm going to go Thompson.
So you're going to put Jordan on the bench?
Jordan's on the bench? This is ACC.
Play. Yeah, I got you.
Without question. Jordan's not in front of David Thompson.
So are you going to put Tim Duncan in the lineup or Len Bias?
I'm going to go Len Bias.
Len Bias. So you're going to start Phil Ford, David Thompson, Len Bias, Ralph Sampson, and
Chris Paul. I'm going two guards. You give me two guards or one?
Well, they're both point guards, aren't they?
I'll go Phil Ford at the point.
Okay. So Phil Ford, David Thompson, Ralph Sampson, Len Bias, and
I'll go Tim Duncan.
Who?
Tim Duncan.
Okay.
Because I don't need him to score, and he's cool with it.
With not scoring?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's definitely cool.
But he's going to get 15 rebounds and an 8 assists and defend.
Yeah, no question. Just wanted to check.
Well, where were you going with your starting five?
I would go Phil.
Okay. Ding.
I would go Sampson for sure. Ding. Bias for sure.
Ding. That's three for five.
I think David Thompson for sure.
Four for five. You want to go ahead and give me the same team?
No, I'm not, because here's the thing. I'm torn between Tim Duncan and Antoine Jameson. Because Antoine Jameson, Duncan is okay without scoring. Antoine Jameson was a sneaky, sneaky good rebounder. Offensively, for sure.
What's interesting is that neither one of us have Zion in our starting five.
No. It's an energy piece off the bench.
I'm just saying. But our thought process, four of your, really almost all five are the same.
Right. And everybody says, well, how in the world can you not have Michael Jordan? Because you got to put five on the floor and you're trying to build the lineup. Michael Jordan scrapped the six-time NBA champion
NBA
and MVP now. I mean, that's not this conversation.
No.
That's where you have to, you know, put the blinders on a little bit.
Well, I tell you what, there's so many great players.
Oh,
I mean, it's almost impossible to do this.
Yeah.
And when you start now talking about putting five together, and we're going to use the 15 guys, which are the universe from Nothing But Net Crew.
Yeah.
I mean, go ahead and try to piece it together. I mean, you can't go wrong.
No.
You really can't. I mean, that's how great the teams are.
As long as I'm coaching them.
Well.
Nothing But Net, by the way, comes up for you every Sunday night. This Sunday night, it follows our coverage from South Bend, Indiana, where we'll have Miami and Boston College. Kelsey Riggs officiates Dallin Cuff, Luke Hancock, and Carlos Boozer. 8 o'clock follows our Sunday night basketball package right here on ACC Network and the ESPN app. When we come back, more of your phone calls, 844-SAY-ACC-N, and the Achilles heels of the ACC. No, we're not talking Carolina, although one might think. We'll talk about kind of how these teams set up for a run in March. The Dukes, the Virginias, the Florida States, and the Louisvilles when we continue on Packer and Durham.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham,
man.
From the basement on a Tuesday. Number is 844-SAY-ACCN. You can certainly participate. With you get one ACC coach for one game to take the Nothing But Net All-Star team and let it rip. Who's that person, male or female? Let me emphasize that. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number.
Seth Davis has written a piece for The Athletic where he talks about teams that could be in the NCAA tournament and maybe their weak spots. And he did it by talking to scouts and opposing assistant coaches, and he profiled the four ACC teams, five or six total, I guess, of teams that could potentially make a run to March. And he did a breakdown, and you can read about it at The Athletic. It's an interesting piece, Now, these are the thoughts of Davis with the coaches and the scouts involved and that kind of thing. And he profiles every team. And let me give you a line or two about each of them here. And then we'll kind
of break. Can I just say one thing before you start?
Sure.
The one on Duke.
Yeah.
Again, everybody's entitled to their opinion, like Florida and Virginia. I think they're wrong about Duke.
All right. He said basically the quotes on Duke, that's the most depth they've had in a long time. They use a player who could be a problem, like Clemson's Amir Sims, a shooting four-man who plays the five. He takes Vernon Carey away from the basket where he's not comfortable. One of the coaches or scouts says, I think they're the most susceptible team in the top 10 to losing on the first weekend.
I'll take that bet.
They get weaker when they go to the bench. Jordan Goldwire plays hard, but he's just a normal guard. I think Jordan Goldwire provides a valuable piece to what Duke does.
Let me ask you something. How many teams in America get better when they go to the bench?
Yeah, well.
I mean, just think about that statement a second.
Yeah.
I mean, I know Louisville's deep, Duke's deep, Florida State's deep. But their quality depth, I think, was what makes those three teams absolutely dangerous in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
Not a negative. I think it's a positive. And Goldwire, by the way, I know he's not the starter. Trey Jones does his thing. But every time I see Goldwire come in the game, he's disruptive, man. Defensively, right. He causes a problem.
Yeah, I totally agree.
I didn't buy the Duke synopsis at all.
Well, the Louisville one is interesting because it's really one of the first articles I've seen where somebody qualifies front court and back court. They talk about they have pros in the front court, but their guard play is not elite. Well, I'm not. Either. Well, because I think David Johnson is an emerging talent in this league.
I agree.
Who scored 19 at Duke. Ryan McMahon's a high-level shooter. And I think Williamson gives him energy off the bench, and Kimball doesn't kill him.
Yeah, I didn't necessarily buy that either. But, hey, everybody's entitled to their opinion.
Right.
I mean, the three big boys in this league, their depth is as good as anybody in the country.
Yeah.
When they go to guys 8, 9, 10, and 11, are they the starters? No, that's why they're from on the bench. But the quality of depth of those three teams is what makes them serious factors in the NCAA tournament.
All right, let's take the team that's third currently in the conference standings, and that's Florida State. The scouting report on Florida State is they don't have any size at the rim. They don't have the size at the rim they've had the last few years. And you see the quote here, a team with dynamic guard play can hurt them because they're so extended.
How's that work?
Well, I understand where they're coming with it, and I would tell you that I think the guy who has to gain the most ground before the postseason is Raekwon Evans, but Raekwon Evans is not playing crazy minutes. I'll tell you this, though. I'll take Florida State in a one-game scenario with anybody in the country today, anybody, because they bring two bigs, Olenichuk and Kaprizza, Koprivica off the bench. I like Malik Osborne. I love Patrick Williams and where that's going in this world.
Wes, would we all agree when it comes to the NCAA tournament, postseason play?
Right.
If you're going to have success, you must have great guard play. Would we all agree with that?
Yeah.
I don't care what league, yeah, what team, what coach, whoever gets to Atlanta, those four teams will have a run where their guard play has been outstanding.
Yeah, I agree.
Do you trust Forrest and Vassell?
I do.
In the backcourt?
I do
with my life.
I think that the problem with Forrest and Vassell is, and I'll get to this later in the week, the problem with Forrest and Vassell is you're trying to figure out which one of those two guys collectively you want to put on all ACC and where. They're so good, and they've done so much. Now, Trent Forrest is easy for all defensive team in this league, but Devin Vassell has been a scoring machine for the most part for Florida State.
Well, that's where also I was going to go with you, that not only from an offensive standpoint, hey, they're fine, but defensively, watch out.
Yeah.
Both of them. Again, everybody's entitled to their opinion trying to break stuff down, but I'll guarantee you whoever the four teams are that get to Atlanta for the Final Four, all four of them are going to have great guard play for the month. Guaranteed.
Yeah.
If you don't have it, I don't care who you are and where you're ranked today. If your guard play is spotty, you're not going to get there.
We're going to punch through here four more real quick before we get to the bottom of the hour. Let's go Virginia. Cavaliers 9-5, host BC this week and then spend the weekend against Pittsburgh. Historically bad offensively right now is one of the scouting reports there. Kihei Clark's been really good in ball screens as of late, still hard to score on, not as intimidating as they were the last couple years. I don't disagree with that, but I would add this. I think the fact that Mamadi Diakite is starting to be comfortable at the offensive end and score in a variety of ways, just not on stick backs pack, allows Clark, Walden Tensai, Key, Morsell, you name it. I think that makes Virginia better at the offensive end. Now, is it going to change their shooting numbers? I don't think it will drastically. It just gives them something else for somebody else to consider.
They're still a defensive, intimidating team.
No question.
On that end.
And that's where they're making money.
Right. No question. I mean, that's how they have to.
Right.
I just don't trust them consistently enough offensively. The spike at Louisville, despite the loss, I was hoping would be, hey, maybe that's a sign of things to come.
Right.
The North Carolina game was back to the same old fist fight, pulling teeth routine. Mm-hmm. I just think that's who they are this year. And when you lose the offensive weapons they did from a year ago, that's why they're not as intimidating. If they had Guy back, you know what? They're going to be tough out.
Yeah.
I just don't trust them. Doesn't mean they can't get there. I just don't trust them on a consistent basis against really good teams that they can score.
Yeah.
Every game is the same game, seems like.
There are three teams outside the Big Four that we've talked about here for the last couple of weeks I want to mention. NC State is the first. They're tied with Syracuse for fifth. At 7-7 with six to play, and you know about the big week they've got, Duke at home and Florida State at home. The scouting report in Seth Davis's article is they're not a great defensive team. They try to steal the ball. They're susceptible to being scored on. I would say this, the one thing that does point out is Manny Bates has helped make up for a lot of mistakes. I was really impressed with him Sunday night. I think he's much improved over the course of the season. To me, C.J. Bryce is almost back to form, but it comes down to good Markell, bad Markell.
That's it. I mean, that last possession is all you need to know.
Well, the first five possessions of the game, right? Yeah. Syracuse is on this list. The Orange, I think, are a fascinating topic, only from the aspect of what is Syracuse going to be down the stretch here? How does the Orange handle road trips to Louisville, road trip to B.C., road trip to Miami? Late in the season.
Well, they had a golden opportunity.
They
Saturday
certainly did.
Against Florida State. And yep. Buddy Boeheim had a lousy game. Couldn't make anything. Hughes was doing his thing. But, I mean, we talk about North Carolina to start the show today. Can't close. Syracuse, you're up four late. Mm-hmm. You got to win the game. If you're going to be an NCAA tournament team, you knew what the schedule was this week. At Florida State, at Louisville, you've got to win those games, especially after you blew the NC State game. Again, six-point lead late at home and didn't get the job done.
Real quick, we'll add Notre Dame since they were in the article as well. The Irish a win last night over Carolina on the Leshefsky 3. The note about Notre Dame that I found the most fascinating is that it's acknowledged what a high-level offensive team they are.
When they're on.
Yeah. Well, and let's be honest, they've got basically five shooters on the floor at all times.
Well, they did
in some aspect.
They did last night, and they were down 15 with 8 minutes to go. And as Mike Bray said after the game, guys keep firing. Well, we are due a run. And when you have guys that can shoot, eventually they will eventually go in.
Yeah.
And that's what they had last night. Again, I just don't know about their consistency.
Well, when we come back, tomorrow night in Winston-Salem, they're going to celebrate one of the great teams of ACC tournament history, the 1995 Wake Forest Demon Deacons. And when we come back, we get to visit with the head coach of that team. G. David Odom is going to roll up into Packer and Durham live from Winston-Salem. We're going to get some Scooter Banks video on here? How about that? We'll come back. Coach Odom is with us next on Packer and Durham on ACC Network and Sirius XM ACC 371.
Packer and Durham from the basement, 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. Commissioner of the ACC, John Swofford, scheduled to join us in about a half an hour. We look forward to that. About an hour from now, Alfonso Ellis will be on board. We'll go there. But our next guest will be center stage
yep.
of a big celebration coming up as Wake Forest celebrates really an incredible team from 25 years ago. And the head coach of that respective institution and that club joins us now. That would be Dave Odom. Coach, how are you?
Oh, I couldn't be better, guys. I got a little more empathy for you guys having to get up so early in the morning and get started. You do a great job.
Well, we appreciate that. Man, it's got to be exciting about this 25-year celebration. It's hard to believe it's 25 years ago, but, man, what a special team that was.
It really was. You know, anytime you win a championship, of course, there's just so many things that go into that. And but when I think back on those 25 years, I think about, you know, team camaraderie, you know, leadership. You know, they were totally together. Somebody asked me yesterday, one of the media here in Winston-Salem asked me yesterday what was one of the ingredients that went into the championship and, you know, what was our team like. And I think our team was probably no different than a lot of teams that won championships. They were never afraid to play. They were never afraid to lay it out there. We had great leadership on that team, and Randolph Childers certainly was the leader early on, and you know Tim Duncan certainly carried his weight. But we had other guys that people didn't talk about as much: Rusty LaRue, Tony Rutland, or Scooter Banks. Those kind of guys all had. Played very important roles in the championship.
Coach, the team finished third in the country. You went 26-6, won the ACC at 12-4. What did you learn along the way during the conference season that gave you that good vibe going to Greensboro? And certainly Randolph's performance is one for the ages in 95. That's the other aspect that's most remembered, I think, about this particular team.
Wes, I think the that was a team that grew as the season progressed. I don't think we started the season saying we're going to be third in the country, we're going to win the ACC. I think it was a team that learned about itself, learned the things that it could do well along the way. Certainly we leaned a good measure of time on Randolph and his ability to make open shots, to give us leadership at the appropriate time. But this was not a team that was, you know, perfect from the beginning. It was a team that grew as the season went. And, you know, Randolph was, you know, kind of the catalyst for what was going on at that time.
Dave, when you got to the ACC tournament, and again, Randolph just had one of those 3 or 4 days that you just go, man alive, are you kidding me? As a coach, yeah. When you get a guy with that kind of hot hand, and I don't mean this to be disrespectful, but as a coach, do you not just sometimes go, hey, well, let's not make this complicated, boys. Randolph, let it rip. Let's go. I mean, I'm just curious when you got into that flow and the place was going nuts. And again, anytime you had the ACC tournament in Greensboro in the 90s, as you well know, it was just electric. But do you just kind of get out of the way sometimes when it gets going that way as a coach?
Mark, I know you've heard the story, and I'll tell it one more time, but that was the year that Mike Krzyzewski had the back problem, and he was not coaching at the time, and we played Duke in the first round of the tournament, and I can't remember the exact the way it unfolded, but I do know this. We left our game back in the hotel, and we started the game. We got behind quickly, something like 16-6, and then 24-10, and I think it finally got to be something like 33-13 or 14. And I called one of those timeouts maybe the 8-minute timeout in the first half. And the things that I said to my team, they would arrest me for today. There's no question about that. And finally, I heard in the back of the huddle somebody saying, "Coach, that's enough. Leave it to me. Get out of the way." It was Randolph Childers. He huddled a team right out on the floor. I walked out there with him. He put his hand on my shoulder and said, "I got this, Coach. I got this." And he went back out there and completely turned the tables on Duke. Our team got in behind him, and of course, the story is what it was. We win the game, went on and beat, I guess it was Virginia in the second round, and then played North Carolina in that famous overtime game. In the finals. It was crazy, but it all started, as you said, get out of the way, Coach, and let me do my deal. It was Randolph Childers.
Coach, it's an amazing statement about this league because the teams you beat, Virginia had a first-team player on it in Junior Burrow. Of course, you know, Carolina had the Stackhouse, McInnis, Rasheed Wallace. I mean, that was an unbelievable team Coach Smith had. And I know you value, growing up in North Carolina and growing up around the ACC, this spot kind of in the history books. 25 years later, what's it mean to Dave Odom?
Well, Wes, you've also been in North Carolina all your life, as has Mark. And, you know, I don't think any coach worth his salt grows up thinking, if I do this or that, I'm going to get put in the Hall of Fame, or I'm going to have my banner in the rafters, or we're going to win an ACC tournament championship. I don't think you do that. What you do is you try to develop the things that you have at your disposal along the way, and you kind of see where it takes you. What we're going to experience here for the next 2 days at Wake Forest is going to be a shared shared opportunity. It's one where we can, you know, revisit the memories of those days back when we were playing for ACC championships, and Randolph and Tim and all of the other players were playing and the coming together and how it actually happened. So what it means to me is that, you know, our university was able to smile again, to be happy again, to remember the good days. And that's what we're going to do for the next couple of days, is share this with everybody that has any association with the university and our Deacon fans.
I want to ask you real quick about the guys on that team who are now coaching. And obviously Randolph is an assistant, associate head coach for Danny Manning. Tim is now an assistant for Pop in San Antonio, which I find very unique. Rusty LaRue off that team has also coached, and I know a couple of other guys have coached at other levels. What's it say to you that they've now gotten into at least some experience of that discipline?
Well, I think you go back to when they were playing. I mean, I'm not sure that any of them said at that point, I want to be a coach, but the contributions that they made to that team were very coach-like. Rusty LaRue has the ability to bring people together and give them a vision, and they play on from there. Randolph is more fiery. He's more in-your-face kind of coach, but very, very knowledgeable about the game and the way the teams should be put together. Tim is an anomaly. I know he never, ever, ever wanted to coach. And I remember this year we were putting these 2 days together, and I was talking to him about participating and coming back. He said, Coach, I've been asked to do something that I have never thought about doing. I said, what's that? He said, Coach Pop has asked me to be a coach for a year. And he said, I'm not sure I'm qualified to do that. I don't know if I even want to do it. And he said, what do you think? And I said, Tim, you've been with him 20 years. He gave you 20 years. You got to do it. And so he has done it. And I think he's kind of caught the bug a little bit. He's really enjoying it. And I know the Randolph would like to be a head coach someday. Yeah. Rusty's kind of settled in at the high school level. But those were guys that I were dealing with, and they were just so smart. They were talented, but they were smart beyond their years, and I was so fortunate to be a part of it.
Dave, I know you probably think back from time to time the whole recruiting process with Tim Duncan, because when you hear the story, it's almost like, you know, right place, right time, meant to be, and no matter what you do for a living, you look back and you say, that particular moment, I was at the right place at the right time. But the Tim Duncan story, from where you found him and his hard work and God-given abilities and great coaching and everything else to turn out to be as incredible a player as he was, it really is kind of amazing, isn't it, when you look back at it?
Oh, it's a once-in-a-lifetime trip, no question about it. The way the thing happened, Chris Keane, one of our former players, was drafted in the NBA, and the NBA that summer put together a team that was going to island hop around the Caribbean visiting with some of the residents and kids that live down there doing clinics, and playing some pickup basketball with them just to kind of lift their spirits and give them an idea about what the NBA basketball was about. And so he does that and comes back, and I'm in my office in September, and Chris walks by, and I call him in and just rhetorically said to him, did you enjoy your trip? He said, yeah, Alonzo Mourning and I, we hung out. We did this, that, and the other. Yeah, and I said, did you see anybody that we ought to be interested in? Any player down there? You got a coach? There was one kid. He was thin, about 6'9", probably about 190 pounds, but he had some skill. Now, he wasn't as good as me and Alonzo, he said. I said, well, that's fine. We'll check him out. Had a staff meeting later that afternoon, Larry Davis on my staff. I said, didn't you have some connection with somebody on one of the islands down in the Caribbean? He said, yeah, I got so-and-so. And I said, well, call the guy and see if he will give us an idea. Next day, Larry walks right in, throws Tim Duncan's name right on my desk and said, this is the school he went to. This is the island he's on. This is the telephone number. I gave it right back to him. I said, call, see if the kid would be interested. Larry came back to me, said I talked to him, said he would be interested. We scheduled a trip. I made one trip, October the 4th that year. And I still remember the date because it was fairly important. I went down the next day. I watched him play on an outdoor court, the only court on the island. Hess Oil let out at 3 o'clock. They all came down to the court. It was a beautiful court, much like you see in the U.S. Open tennis. And they played pickup basketball for about an hour and a half or 2 hours. Only time I saw him play, we invited him up. He committed. He signed. I told my staff, that will be a good candidate for redshirt his first year. He will be a great redshirt player. No question about that. We ended up bringing in Maktar Njai and Ricky Peral, who both were at that time better players. Didn't turn out to be that way, but that's kind of the way it unfolded.
Let me ask a question, because when we had the ball game up there with Boston College a couple of weeks ago, Mark Blukas, who's a friend of Malcolm Huckabee's, sent us a right. video saying that the full intention to redshirt went into the fall of that year. And it was after pickup games where Randolph Childress walked into your office and said, Coach, we're not redshirting this guy. Is that urban
Randolph,
legend? Is that
urban legend? Randolph was very opinionated, but he didn't run the program. You know, he might have thought he did, but he didn't run the program. That did happen, but in all honesty, we were in Alaska for the first games.
Yeah,
and I had really pretty much decided to redshirt him, but then we lost Maktar Njai from an NCAA standpoint, a rule that had not been cleared up, and Ricky Peral was going to have to sit out the first seven games because he participated in some what they call friendly games in Spain, and you know we were kind of left with Tim. And so I decided to go ahead and play him. And the first game, I mean, it's a matter of record. I don't know exactly what it was, but he scored like 6 points and got like, I don't know, 7 or 8 rebounds and blocked 2 shots. It wasn't something that you would look at and say, that's going to turn the tables for Wake Forest and they're going to, you know, go on and win an ACC championship a couple of years down the road or whatever. But it did kind of turn our change my thoughts a little bit on it. Hmm. And so we played that thing out and then went back home. And then the next trip that we had was at Vanderbilt. And yeah. That was where he really began to it was kind of a Duncan coming out party. Randolph was right. It was probably a good decision not to redshirt him. There's no question about that because he just got incrementally better as the season went along.
Dave, before we let you run, we were kicking around an idea earlier this hour. One of our other shows came out with the all-time ACC team, right, which is almost impossible to do. And they came up with 15 names and of all great players. And so we decided to come up with an idea that if you could go back and get one ACC coach in their prime for one game to coach them, where would you go? If I put you on the spot, and said, all right, for one game, and you could go back to your own experiences here, to just say, hey, this guy, he might not have been the greatest coach of all time, but for one game, X and O's wise, that was a headache. Or you could go Dean or Kay or Roy or wherever you want to go. Who would be the coach for one game with an all-ACC team? Who'd be the guy?
I got to take a deep breath on this. I may not be allowed to go to the events of the next 2 days, but I would go Dean Smith. The thing that I learned about Coach Smith, every time we competed with him, there was always something that occurred that he orchestrated from the bench that we were not ready for during the game. I mean, he always had something new that we had to stand up and offset, or we had to combat, or we had to play over in order to get to where we wanted to go. I remember one specific game. It was the Duncan Childers era, and we're playing in Winston-Salem. Eric Montross was who Wes, I know you know very well, but we're Ernie Nestor and I are sitting on the bench. The game is very combative. It's probably in the first half sometime, and Calabria was on the court with Montrose, and he wraps around and curls around, and they get the ball down to the wing, and they throw that ball right into Montrose, and he lays the ball up, and Duncan's on the top side. And I turn to Ernie, and Ernie turns to me and says, that's it. That was the thing that we're going to learn this time. So, you know, halftime, we got to spend halftime talking about, you know, if they do that this half, we've got to be able to do this to stop it. Dean was always challenging like that. He was always on top of things, and he made you be at your best because you knew he was going to be at his best. And when you were lucky enough to beat a North Carolina team, you could always go home, sleep well at night, because you knew you had prepared your team well and they had played up to standards. But that's no disrespect to the other great coaches, the lefties, the Bobby Cremins, the Mike Krzyzewskis, even a Jimmy Valvano, who I thought was a great game coach. And I could go on. Yeah. They were all great. But that's what made the ACC what it was.
Coach, enjoy the next 2 days. Our best to Miss Lynn, and we look forward to seeing you in Greensboro at the tournament.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
You bet. Dave Odom, the great coach of the Wake Forest Demon Deacons, 12 years, two ACC titles. He is second all-time in Winston-Salem in wins behind Murray Greason. And he is all-time leader in ACC wins.
And more importantly, a really great guy.
Yep, great guy. Yep. Fun to have him with us. We'll take a quick break. More Packer in Durham. John Swofford, the commissioner, joins us at 9 o'clock when we continue right here on the ACC Network and SiriusXM ACC 371.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy.
Packer in Durham. Very quick segment before we bring on the commissioner of the ACC at the top of the hour, John Swofford. A lot of issues to get into with the commissioner, but it's good having Dave Odom on the show.
That was very enjoyable.
And that 95 team really was great. And you saw those old highlights of the Greensboro Coliseum, the ACC tournament, and Randolph Childress just went off. I mean, he was just another stratosphere for that tournament.
It's awesome. It'll be fun to be in Greensboro here in about 3 weeks for the 67th annual ACC basketball tournament. Looking always forward to being in the Coliseum.
It always feels right in Greensboro. I'm just telling you.
Yep.
Maybe that's just because, you know, you grow up in this state, and I know the tournament now goes everywhere, including Brooklyn and D.C. and Atlanta, et cetera, et cetera. But it always feels right in Greensboro.
Maybe we can have a segment since we're going to do mornings. Word is we might be inside the arena.
No, wait a minute. You always come up with this stuff, and then one of our bosses, Aaron Katzman, gets all upset.
Does he?
Yeah.
Okay, I need to stop. I won't say it.
It's supposed to be a secret, apparently. But now you've told everybody, so go ahead and say it.
Well, I don't know. We might be. I'm not sure.
Well, then why would you say it?
Maybe we could just – maybe if we're not, we could do a segment where we walk around on the floor to really cool spots on the floor that have happened in Greensboro at the tournament.
Maybe they will put us up on top of that scoreboard. from the 1975 ACC tournament. The controversial ricochet off the scoreboard trick. Remember that one?
Lee Foy.
Yep.
Eddie Payne.
Yep.
Yeah. Is that what you're talking about?
That was Wake, North Carolina.
It
right?
was. Yeah. Brad Hoffman at the other end of the floor.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I remember.
Ball apparently hit the scoreboard.
Ed Stahl. The late Ed Stahl was down there, too.
That's what they said. Says it hit I know people said, what are you talking about?
Gentleman Carl Tacy said that ball did not hit
Never
the scoreboard.
Never hit the scoreboard.
That's right. Yeah.
That's the kind of stuff. That's the kind of stuff I kind of miss of the old ACC tournament.
I think they've replaced the scoreboard.
Well, you know they have. They had that big old giant monstrosity up there back then. You know what I'm saying? They used to have like every player that's in the game and the bench and how many points and fouls.
Right.
And just
they also had hockey. It was the hockey scoreboard because they had to have penalty minutes and everything else.
Right.
Because the old Greensboro Generals used to play in there.
When the Winston-Salem Polar Twins rolled in there and dominated.
No, they didn't.
Charlotte Checkers.
No, they didn't. The Roanoke Rebels. No, none of that happened.
Those are all great, right?
Yeah.
Old school. That's for an old school ACC fan.
Now
you know
where we're talking.
That nothing but net crew thinks we're speaking Chinese all of a sudden.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Well, they see me rolling here wearing my Carolina Cougars shirt on Monday before the ACC tournament.
Bob Verga.
That's it.
Jumping Joe.
Steve Previs.
That's it.
Bunch all right, the commissioner. We're going to go serious when we come back now. We'll have the commissioner of the Atlantic Coast Conference, John Swofford, is going to join us. We'll talk about the ACC's endorsement of the one-time no-sit transfer rule. We'll do that right after this. Power Hour next with the commissioner on ACC Network and Sirius XM 371.